Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for sending your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to be our Savior. Thank you for this greatest gift. You give us everlasting hope and strong and certain joy. And you have brought us together tonight to once again receive your powerful word through which the Holy Spirit works to nurture and increase our faith in Emmanuel, the sign of all signs, the sign of your love and mercy. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Isaiah chapter 7, 10 through 17 is the basis for our proclamation this evening. Again, the Lord spoke to King Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But King Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need signs. We desperately need signs in our life. To say nothing of the multitude of signs just to keep our civil infrastructure going so we don't get in car crashes left and right. We need the real signs, most important. In our relationships, we need signs of affirmation and love. The people we care about, the people in our lives care about us. They want to be with us. They affirm us. They keep us anchored and grounded in knowing that we have been given these blessed relationships that keep us going in life and give us so much joy when we have signs of love. This is especially true when it comes to children that we raise. We raise our children well to know Jesus, the God of grace, when we constantly show them grace. Yes, we discipline according to Hebrews 12, but most importantly, we give grace. We embrace them. We forgive them. We let them hear over and over again. They are forgiven. They are unconditionally loved. You raise a child like that, a child becomes strong and confident in life. And we need that love and affirmation, all the signs that go with it for holy marriage. And at the end of the day, the most important thing for keeping a marriage strong is that constant sign of grace and forgiveness. We know that when we get married, we married another flawed and sinful person just like ourselves. So the best thing we can do is to cover that up with love that Peter says covers over a multitude of sins. And we also need sign for hope. When someone is diagnosed with a serious disease, they yearn for signs of hope, that they see signs of healing, signs that the treatment is being effective and successful. We look for those signs. We go in for those labs, and we hope when they come back to us, they're going to show us good signs, that God is helping us in our time of need to be healed. Signs are so important. But dear Christians, there are some signs that are most important. The signs that have to do with God's eternal love and mercy in Christ Jesus for you. And on this holy Christmas Eve, we are told of the sign of signs, the Christmas sign. The sign that when you know it by the Holy Spirit leading you to hold on to it no matter what, that God is with us, you have the sign that gives life forever. The sign we praise God for. So we come to this scripture in Isaiah 7 and we learn about God giving us this Christmas sign. And when God gives this sign, he's giving the sign to the king of Judah, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, of God's chosen people. Judah is that region which contains the holy royal city of Jerusalem. It contains the city where Jesus was born, holy Bethlehem. This is the place of the temple. This is in connection to God's eternal promise to King David. And even though King Ahaz had gone astray, God wants to give him hope. God wants to show him grace. So he comes through the prophet Isaiah to proclaim an offer, an invitation. And this is a sign of the God of grace. King Ahaz was afraid. He was shaking in his boots. He was in a position where there were two other nations getting ready to attack. Israel to the north and also Syria. He was very worried. He was full of fear. Very concerned. And God knew it. So God in grace wanted to give him a sign. And so he comes through Isaiah the prophet. We have these astounding words in verses 10 through 11. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, verse 11. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, the realm of the dead, or high as heaven. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. He comes to King Ahaz and says, ask. You're in trouble. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. So ask. The Almighty King of Kings is giving you this gracious invitation and offer. Just ask. And I will give you the sign you need to know that it's going to be okay. That I'm going to protect you. That I'm going to help you. I want to give you a sign. That's how much God loves us. Ahaz needed a sign. He just didn't know it. Ahaz was being stubborn. He was being arrogant. So he responds at verses 12 and 13. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of Israel, this is Isaiah. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? The God of heaven and earth has offered to give you a sign, and you come back and say, I won't. I'm not interested. I don't need it because I'm going to trust in myself. And in these words of King Ahaz, we see the condition of human hearts without the Lord, without knowing God in Christ. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need the Lord. I don't need God. I will not ask for a sign. And he even makes it sound as though he's being pious. I won't put the Lord to the test. As if this was some kind of noble piety or religion. But we come to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm glad I can proclaim this to you, because some of you might remember the wilderness temptation of Satan going after our Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells Satan, you shall not put the Lord to the test. But you need to hear this. We look at things contextually. There's oftentimes more than one way to understand. When it comes to putting the Lord to the test in a petty way, in a sinful way, in a manipulative way, where we don't care about the will of God, we only want it our way, we are not to put the Lord to the test. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to trusting the Lord with your life and your hope, the eternal love of God, he wants you to put him to the test. Test me to keep my promise. Test my faithfulness. Test me, I will keep my word. And never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. Test me in this, that my eternal love and mercy is eternal. Test me. But King Ahaz would not. Instead, he was like, I've already made up my mind. Don't confuse me with the facts. So again, what does God do in the face of rebellion, in the face of hardness? He comes back again with grace. This is astounding. So you won't ask for a sign. So you know what I'm going to do, says God? I'm going to give you a sign. Even in the face of rebellion, the God of grace. I know what you need. So I'm going to give you a sign. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is one of the greatest scriptures, period. It's a Christmas sign. Here it is. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word of God. Thanks be to God. We want God to give signs according to our opinions and whims. If you are truly God, if you are truly there, do this, do that, give me a sign this way and that. But God says, I have something much better. My signs ordained from eternity that are absolutely trustworthy. And those kind of signs, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hold to by the grace of God through faith, shall bless us as we hold to these signs. Those signs include our holy baptism. And we make the sign of the cross to remember that holy sign when the Holy Spirit was given to you as a seal and a guarantee. Do you know that you are baptized? You say, yes, I've been baptized. Then know that you are forgiven. Know that you are united to Jesus. Know you have crossed over from death to life. And then we have the sign of his word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That sign of the word of God in our lives, coming into our ears and our minds and our hearts, always guiding us. God is with me in this world. I know, because his word fills me. He speaks to me, and this word strengthens my faith. And then we have the sign of his Holy Supper, the visible signs given to you of bread and wine, but the signs that bring with it the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, the one who makes you one with him, united to his life, death, and resurrection, the sign that the ancients called the medicine of immortality. You also have the sign of his resurrection. Remember when he talked about that sign in Matthew chapter 12, when the scribes and the Pharisees were testing him? We want a sign. And Jesus said, no sign will be given to the sinful generation except for the sign of Jonah, who was swallowed by the great fish. And in the great fish, for 3 days and three nights. And likewise, the Son of Man, the Son of God, will be buried for 3 days and three nights. That's the sign that God gives. To know that sign beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happens to me in this life, you have eternal life because you are with the resurrection and the life. That's a sign. One more before I get to the Christmas sign. We leave the best for last. The sign of the church. Where is God when I'm struggling? Where is God when I'm doubting? Where is God when I'm beside myself with my problems? This is why he gives the church. Fellow sinners, fellow redeemed, who can encourage one another, who can sharpen one another, who can pray for one another, who can embrace one another. Every church you look at will have problems. But when you understand God's plan, he's saying this is a sign that I'm with you. And now the Christmas sign. The sign is Emmanuel, God with us. And as we talk about this last sign, I want you to think of two and two. Two and two. This last sign, God with us, is connected to that teenage girl, probably about 15 years old, who gave birth to the Son of God, who is a virgin. Because, here's the first set of two, because she was a woman, a virgin, Jesus is true man. A true man coming from his mother's womb. And because the one who conceived him was the Holy Spirit, this Jesus was truly God. That's your first two. And in knowing Emmanuel as true man and true God, who can relate to you when you come to him with whatever troubles you, because he too is true man, he is also true God, able to answer your prayer in time of need. Now the second two. Why does Emmanuel come? He comes for judgment and he comes for salvation. That's why he comes. He comes for judgment. And thanks be to God, because Emmanuel comes for judgment. You know how we relate to that. He took upon himself all our sin, all our judgment, so that we would not be judged. Emmanuel means that when God sees you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. For he was born to cover your sins with his blood. And that leads to the second part of the two. Savior. His name is Jesus. Named that way because he is Savior. He will save his people from their sins. And when you know him, you know that you stand before God as one who looks just like Jesus. Emmanuel. God is with us. Merry Christmas. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.